Radio Fun at Christmas. Russell Davies pieces together the meaning of Christmas as perceived by wireless comedians during the last half century.
Ladies and gentlemen, the BBC have decided to draw back their veil of secrecy and announce to the listeners a Merry Christmas and custard. Jingle bells, jingle bells. Who threw that second-hand Christmas pudding at me eye?
Quick, Doc Snare, turn his teeth behind his back before he can eat it.
I'll get you for this.
Shabbos! Spelled S-T-O-P with a capital K. How dare you chain up Wallace's dinner manglers during the greedy gut season? What? But hark! What light through yonder window breaks?
Message for you.
Merry Christmas bells! And what's this?
It's Radio Fun at Christmas. Good morning. And allow me to be the second to wish you a Merry Christmas and custard. Or possibly the third. It depends whether you were thinking of having listened tomorrow.
Well, of course, it's Christmas Eve. Unless you happen to be listening on Christmas Day, because we're getting a repeat tomorrow. And if you are listening on Christmas Day, we won't be getting a repeat tomorrow because this is it. But to those of you who are listening yesterday, that is today to you, you can listen again tomorrow, which is today to everybody who isn't listening yesterday.
Yes, nice to have that sorted out. But why delve into the archive of radio comedy precisely now? Well, you see, it's a matter of planning. Christmas planning.
Yes, watch your mates. Just another one of the Christmas clips from the Christmas shows coming your way this Christmas on the BBC at Christmas. Stay tuned this Christmas to this special Christmas edition of the Christmas Burkitt's Way to Dynamic Christmas Living, featuring Joe Kendall, Nigel Rees, Chris Emmett, Father Christmas and Fred Harris, as we Christmasly present our Christmasingly Christmassy 8 correspondence calls, Plan Christmas Schedules the Burkitt's Way!
Yes, we certainly shall. What was bad enough for 1976 is even worse for us. If you've been lucky enough to receive any handkerchiefs by way of a Christmas gift, by the way, prepare to dampen one now.
Hello, and welcome to the Royal Children's Christmas Morning Hospital for the incurably heartwarming, where I'm going to meet some children who are forced to spend Christmas Day suffering from acute sickly sentimentality and an advanced case of tugged heartstrings. Now, first, let me see who's in this bed. Hello? What's your name?
Harden.
Very good, yes. What is your name, Sonny?
Eric Poe de Croydon, mate.
Yes. And how old are you, eh?
53.
Isn't that adorable? Now, tell me, what are you in here for, Mr. Croydon?
I came in to have my operation.
And what did they do?
Well, one of the doctors took my appendix out.
Yes.
Then he took me tonsils out.
The tonsils?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then he took me small intestines out.
You see, and finally?
Well, he eloped with me kidneys, didn't he?
Just a little joke we rehearsed there. What would you do with him, eh? Well, now, boys and girls, if you'd all just look over towards that door now. Who's this great fat figure with the red cheeks and the bushy white beard coming in?
It's Matron, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just another little joke they rehearsed there. I think it probably was Santa Claus, after all, who over the years has been played by many fine and charitable men, but not often in blackface, as he was in 1950 by Andy of Amos and Andy fame. Since this is an American Christmas program, you maybe will need the handkerchief this time. See you in the grotto.
Am I next?
Yeah, you was next. My, say, you is a sweet little girl. Now, what can Santa do for a pretty little girl like you?
Mommy said when I came up here, I could sit on your lap.
Oh, sure, yeah. Let me lift you up here. There you is. You as light as a feather. What's your name, honey?
Patricia Washington.
That's a pretty name, too. And that's a pretty little coat you got on there.
My mother made it for me. She made my hat, too.
Well, Patricia, I suppose you come up to tell me what you want for Christmas.
No, Santa. I wrote you a letter about that. I just came up to visit with you.
Oh, well, that was nice of you, yeah.
I guess when you've been out delivering presents all Christmas Eve, when you get home, you must be awfully tired, Santa Claus.
Yeah, I guess I is pretty tired of that, yeah.
And I'll bet your little girl comes up to you and throws her arms around you like I do when my daddy comes home tired.
Well, no, honey, my little girl don't do that, because, you see, I don't have no little girl. I live by myself.
All by yourself?
All by myself.
Then, just for today, I'll be your little girl. Here.
Oh, thank you, honey. Thank you very much. Why,
Santa Claus, didn't you like it having a little girl hug and kiss you? I noticed there's a tear running down your cheek.
Oh, no, honey. I like that more than I could ever tell you. But don't you pay no attention to that tear. It's just that at Christmas time, your eye is liable to do funny things to you. And I'll tell you something else, too. Santa is really going to come to your house this year.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Santa Claus.
Merry Christmas to you, honey. All right, who's next?
I'm next.
Come right up, sonny. What's your name?
Jonathan Waldorf Curtis Higgins, the third.
Yeah, well, I'll just call you Johnny. Now, what do you want for Christmas, Johnny?
Wait a minute. Before I tell you, are you the real Santa Claus?
Well, I have Santa Claus's helper.
Well, I guess that's okay. But I don't like doing business with no middleman.
Oh, ha, ha, ha. You know, talking to me is just like talking to Santa yourself. I got the sleigh and the reindeers and everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right, then. Just what are the reindeer's names?
You want to know the reindeer's names?
Well, if you're Santa Claus' helper, you ought to know the names.
Yeah, well, there is Donner, Blitzen, Thunder, Prancer, and Stinkin', Blinkin', and Nod. Now, what you want for Christmas, Johnny?
I want an electric train, I want a bicycle, and I want a model airplane with a real gasoline engine.
Yeah, well, that's all pretty expensive stuff, but I don't know if you're going to get all of that.
Oh, you don't, huh?
No.
Say, lean over here a minute.
Yes, sir. I mean, well, what you want?
Now, listen, Bert. Do I get that stuff, or do I have to punch you in the nose in front of all these kids?
Oh, Floorwalker!
Jonathan Waldorf Curtis Higgins III later went into the radio business himself, manufacturing grotto blasters. By the way, listeners are tuning in all the time, not quite sure what day it is, so here's a date check.
Yes, it's here again. For the past weeks, you've been going over that gift list and maybe most of your purchases there, but now on the threshold of the big week of the year, with wreaths in the window, holly on the door, with a jolly old man with the long white whiskers fattening up his reindeer for the big trip down, there's no denying it, Christmas is here.
The bell!
He didn't have much of a part.
Did you?
Part one. Will the cars take up their positions? On your Alfreds, get set. If the audience get on their marks, they too will be able to follow the show. Get set. We give you now the radio advertisement from the dinner of the same name, A Christmas Carol by Kind Permission.
And here, at Christmas, we see the great venerable offices of Scrooge and Marley, importers and exporters for the great year of 1887.
Marley is dead. Marley is dead.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. To enter certain things, in the all-weather lead oval of ledgers. One barrel of Blunger's Violent Stone and Ginger Purge. One gill of rare leopard oil in nukes. One box of feathered shirt lifters.
Ow! Knock, knock!
Who is it?
Short man, can't reach the knocker.
Oh! Scratch it.
Where's it itching?
On my cool. On my cool.
So you've got an itchy cool.
Ta-da!
Well, they're the kind of jokes they told in 1887.
Bar me my tea and only two sugars.
Blast! One too many. I'll recover it. Stand back!
Hello. Care to join me in a cup of tea?
What? Have you seen three lumps of sugar come this way?
No, and I've been here since the milk came.
Oh, yes, and that reminds me. This is Radio 4. It's time for us all to listen to the Christmas message.
A very Merry Christmas to you all. As I think of you, my loyal customers, sitting at home round your firesides this Christmas, it brings home to me very strongly the enormous responsibility that I have as your milkman. And I know that you will appreciate how important it is to me to know that I have your support and shall continue to have your support throughout the coming year. The task of supplying milk to a great nation such as ours is, I am sure you realize, not an easy one. Either here at home or in our colonies, spread as they are like butter over the entire globe. Whether home or colonial, it is our express wish that it be cooperative, uniting dairies across the world. I extend my warmest and most heartfelt bottles to you all.
H.M. Ronnie Barker, head milkman, that is, with his Christmas message to the nation, found among some lines on his grandfather Christmas's forehead in 1971. And now, a message from our sponsor.
Santa Claus left this Christmas present for you.
For me, Harlow?
Oh, gosh, that cheery big red box of does really does look Christmassy, doesn't it?
It sure gets in the spirit on wash day. Does is one soap that does everything in the family wash. Why, does gets towels and linens as white as...
fresh fallen snow?
You bet. Does really is different. Even makes more suds, ounce for ounce. They're real soap suds, too. Believe me, the soap shortage taught folks there's no substitute for does. Why, it moves out of the store so fast these days.
You gotta do your does shopping early, eh, Harlow?
Right. So, folks, first chance you get does. From the roughest and toughest to the whitest and brightest. Does everything.
Right you are, Mr. O'Connor.
Yes, give him a round of applause. He tried ever so hard to sell you something called does. I don't care if it did, I wouldn't have bought it. But that's all American stuff, you cried. We never had American-style radio fun on the BBC. But we did, you know.
This is the BBC Life Programme and the British Forces Network in Germany.
Ladies and gentlemen, life with the lions. Now we'd like you to meet once again the Lyon family.
I'm Richard Lyon.
I'm Barbara Lyon.
I'm Ben Lyon.
And I'm Baby Daniels Lyon.
And here they are in Under the Tree.
Hey, Pops, Barbara and I are ready. We're in the den.
All right, kids, I'm coming. Oh, and listen, BB, Don't try and find out what's going on because it won't do you any good.
What do you think I am, a snoop?
Well, I'd better not answer that. I'll be back in a little while.
Oh, Aggie.
Yes, ma'am?
Aggie, Mr. Lion often tells you his little secrets, doesn't he?
Aye, that's right.
Well, do you know what he's up to with Barbara and Richard?
Aye, I do, but it's a secret.
Oh, Aggie, tell me. I won't tell him that you told me if you tell me.
No, ma'am. Mr. Lion gave me strict instructions.
He did? Just what did he say to you?
He said, Aggie, don't you dare tell my wife that the children and I are going to practice Christmas carols to surprise her. Oh, I've told you.
Oh, I think that's sweet. Come on, let's open the door and listen.
Oh, all right, we may as well. It's no secret now.
Don't they sing beautifully?
Aye, they do.
All right, Richard, you can take the record off now.
What a shame. The singing was rather nice. Let's have a Christmas song. The one about that woman, Mrs. B. White. Great favourite of mine, that. Dennis Norden's always liked it, too.
Dennis? I still don't know a song called Mrs. B. White.
But you're supposed to be... You are a pianist and a musician, and you don't know the song called Mrs. B. White. Well, look, if you just play that bit of music in front of you, Frank and I will sing the song Mrs. B. White for you.
Mrs. B. White.
Well, that was the song, all right, but rather a short version. Let's hear it done properly.
I am envisaging a lactescent Yuletide, bearing a strong similarity to those with which we were formerly acquainted in the past, at a time when the pinnacles of the arbors coruscated and the junior citizens eavesdropped in order that they might give audience to the reverberations of the sledge gongs in the slush. I am contemplating a particularly fleecy Noel, while in the process of putting my signature to each and every one of the seasonal pasteboards destined for my kith and kin. It is my sincere wish that your spans be Saturnalian and sanguine. And finally, may all your Hanukkahs be Caucasian.
What a lovely song. And how kind of Ronnie Barker to perform it at Christmas, when so many of the rest of us are having time off. Of course, there are many public servants for whom this is the busiest time of the year.
Another man working through the festive season is St. Pancras washroom attendant, Mr. Montague Gore Strangely. Well, now, Mr. Gore Strangely.
And I see you festooned the place with paper chains.
Yeah. I made them myself.
Did you really?
Yeah, nice, didn't they?
Aren't they charming, nice. Yes.
Yeah, not only that, I've written the words Merry Christmas in white paint on the roller towel.
Shows up very clearly.
Yeah, yeah. No.
And I left Mr. Gore Strangely secreting threepenny pieces in the bars of soap and looking at the cheery greetings on his walls.
And then there's the valiant postman, battling through all weathers to bring us our Christmas bills. What of him?
Now here's a heartwarming Yuletide tale of kindness and mercy. At the sorting office, they open all mail addressed to Father Christmas or Santa Claus, and one year found one from an old age pensioner living alone who asked for £5 that he could give himself a Christmas treat. Well, the supervisor was very touched by this letter, and he pinned it up on the canteen notice board with a box beneath saying, Contributions. Well, when the day arrived, he counted the money, came to £3.72. So he changed it into £4 notes by donating the difference himself and sent it off to the old man with the compliments of Santa Claus. 2 days later, there was a note from the old man. Dear Santa,
thank you very much for the money, but there was only £4 note, not five. I reckon it must have been those thieving gits at the post office.
Allegedly a true story from Bernard Braden, but still a foul slur on postmen everywhere, who undergo a rigorous training in order to cope with the job. In the GPO show of 1964, a certain Helen Snagg questioned a training officer about this.
What's the first thing a postman learns?
The standard leg test.
Legs, how terribly lovely. Do tell us more.
Well, yes. Each trainee, you see, is given a 100-weight sack of letters.
Oh, dear.
He is then asked to walk through a lane of sex-crazed, ferocious dogs. And the man that delivers the most letters with the least bites is given priority.
Yes,
and bandages. And bandages?
Yes.
I don't know where I get them from. The next test is how to get a 6-foot-long parcel into a 4-inch letterbox.
However, did you hear me? However do you manage that?
Stand back. Very easy. Watch this.
Oh, interesting. Look here, why don't you just knock?
Knock? Why, that's a good idea, isn't it? Knock! Do you hear that, Jack?
It could be the OBE for you.
Knock! Why don't we knock?
Harry Seacombe pretending not to have heard of knocking on doors, but he knew all about it, really. He'd done it 5 years before, while playing Bob Cratchit in The Goons, A Christmas Carol and Custard.
I'll knock at the door of my old-fashioned HP home.
Mister, what?
What is it, Taylor?
Hello, my darling. Merry Christmas and custard.
Oh, who are you, then?
I'm Ned, your husband.
Oh, you can come in. Your dinner's in the oven. Oh, dear. Oh, stop it, Ned.
Well, it's Christmas. This is Eccles, my workmate.
Hello, Mrs. Cratchit. It's Christmas, isn't it?
Hello there, Daddy, darling.
Oh, Gladys, my golden-haired daughter. My, how you've changed.
Daughter, I'm your son.
You have changed. No more explaining for you.
What?
You see, that's what comes of letting people in when they do knock at the door. Some people think that answering doors is the ruination of Christmas.
All right, I'm coming.
Oh, you're in then. Good evening, Constable. Is there anything wrong? I haven't contravened any regulations, have I? You haven't called about the wireless license, have you? It's in the post. Actually, the set's broken. I'm not actually using it. It's been gone for months. I never listened to it.
Here's the news.
Turn that thing off!
Yes. It's next door. They're very thin walls. My friend, he's mended it. He's a mechanic. You know, he's a marvel with electrical apparatus. He's a wonder. Well done, Sid. Yes. Yes, we'll send it off immediately.
I haven't called about the wireless license, sir.
Oh, we won't bother then.
I'm not on official business. It's nothing to do with the law.
Oh, well, in that case, Merry Christmas. Do come in. Have a glass of sherry.
Well, I should really, sir.
Come on now. Come on. Fill your helmet up.
Sid, Sid, it's a police. Sid.
Sid, it's a friendly visit. Nothing to do with the law. Oh, here he comes. What are you doing in the wardrobe?
I just climbed in to hang up ties. Evening, officer.
Good evening, sir. I'm sorry to bother you, gentlemen, but I'm calling on behalf of the Police Benevolent Fund.
By heavens, yes. An admirable organization. I'm all for it. I didn't know we were qualified. Well, it couldn't have come at a better time. How much are we actually getting?
I think you misunderstand, sir. I called to ask you if you care to make a donation. We're making a special Christmas collection.
Yes. We give something to you. Yes, I see. Well, I'd very much like to.
Good.
Wait a minute, I hadn't finished, had I? Christmas is, of course, a very hard time for some people.
Well, exactly, and that's why we're coming round asking.
I mean for the ones that are being asked. I mean, we've got a lot of expenses and times have been very hard, and I know that many people have never had it so good, but believe me, I have. I have many times.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll leave the envelope with you and give what you can and another constable call round tomorrow and collect it.
Well, I wouldn't bother. There must be plenty of things for great strapping policemen to do than collect empty envelopes.
Well, I hope it won't be empty, sir. Especially now your clever friend's mended that wireless set and you haven't got the license yet. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, I do, I do. Yes, it's driven straight home, that has. Well, tomorrow then.
Thank you, sir. Here's the envelope.
Yes. It's a big one, isn't it? I think the dustman's had it this year.
Well, I'll bid you good day. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, thank you. Can I have the sherry glass back, please?
Pardon?
In your pocket.
Oh, yes, an oversight.
Yes, just like us with the radio license. Good day to you. I knew we shouldn't have opened the door.
Postman, busman, policeman, dustman, through the doorway steer, to wish you a happy Christmas and a prosperous new year. Interlopers got some hopers bringing up the rear, to wish you a happy Christmas and a prosperous new year. The 12 months you've been saving up to give yourself a spread, and when these welcome strangers call, they have your spread instead. And as you count the empties, you can see the big idea, when they wish you a happy Christmas and a prosperous new year.
Norman Long has suffered too, you see. Perhaps it's safest at Christmas time to visit friends in the country. This country, of course.
Good evening, England. This is Gilly Potter speaking to you in English. I am speaking to you tonight by courtesy of the Hoggs Norton Broadcasting System from my native town in the heart of unoccupied England, where, once again, I am spending Christmas with my dear, if dissolute, old friend, Lord Marshmallow. On Christmas Eve, I travelled down by train, alone, in a carriage with some 36 others, and was able to stand throughout the journey with both feet off the ground until I reached the junction at Little Twittering, where I joined the Hoggs Norton Railway, that little branch line of which we are particularly proud because it was constructed in order to use up the rocket after George Stephenson had worn it well out between Stockton and Darlington. At the station, I was met by Lord Marshmallow, who was sober and obviously not himself. However, he seemed not only glad to see me, but glad to be able to see me. Christmas dinner at Hoggs Norton always provides some delightful surprise. This year, it was the arrival of 2 men and a boy to cut off the gas. However, in the great fireplace, in the absence of a yule log, there was burning an old sofa, the flames from which lit up the walls, covered with their trophies of the chase, and here and there, as in the case of a pair of handcuffs of the capture. Enhanced, too, by the same soft light was the beauty of the priceless Chinese wallpaper, with its unique pattern repeating the charming submarine motif of wavy seaweed avoiding a ship's bottom. The pictures also gained by the absence of glare and seemed to come alive. Particularly was this noticeable in the 2 great works, each 40 feet long, of the unfortunate Hayden, which portray respectively the historic moment when William and Mary, having been presented with a Bill of Rights, are both refusing to pay it, and that less dramatic occasion when the Prince Regent publicly thanked Wellington for the boots. But transcending all was the firelight's jewelled effect upon the Persian rug which lay before the hearth itself, a rug of such undoubted quality that one wonders why it was thought necessary to weave into its pattern the words first class, together with the Persian symbol of good luck formed by the letters GWR.
That was Gilly Potter in 1949, and here is a 1947 word from our soapy sponsor.
D-U-Z, D-U-Z.
Put Dove in your washing machine.
Work clothes come out oh so clean.
White things white and colored things bright.
D-U-Z does everything.
From the roughest and the toughest to the whitest and the brightest.
No soap bright like Dove before.
Dove is different, Dove does more.
When you Dove your wash, you'll
D-U-Z does everything.
That was delightful, delightful kids, yes sir. And folks, now listen, the truth is, today's prices for used kitchen fats are higher, much higher than last summer. everybody save every drop of used fat. It's worth your while. This is Ralph Edwards speaking on behalf of our sponsor, the makers of Does, and wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
And the same to you. And give my best to Kitchen Fats and his orchestra. This doesn't do much for me. Why can't we hear from some British soap?
The story so far. Amy Amnesia, the desk duster, has taken a tray of tea and biscuits into Meg Variety Awards study, little knowing that Sandy Monotone is already there with a tray of tea and biscuits brought in by David Love Interest and Vera Canalboat, who are secretly having a tray of tea and biscuits together on the quiet. In tonight's special Christmas episode, the story takes an unexpected turn as Diane, you must be joking, suddenly arrives at the motel with a tray of tea and mince pies, throwing the entire plot into total confusion.
Thank you, Christmas Emmett, for a soap update done the Burgess way. Complicated, perhaps, but as British as Murgatroyd and Winterbottom, alias Tommy Handley and Ronald Franco.
Oh, what a life of freedom, where the white snow glistens and glints. Take bandages with you, you'll need them, and also a couple of splints. What if you shake and shiver, and your face is all crosses and noughts, and you somehow unfastened your liver?
You've been to the winter sports, my lad, you've been to the winter sports. Ukulele, banjolele, you've been to the winter sports. You have been to the winter sports.
All hail, Flotsam Troyd.
No use, Jetsam Bottom.
Franco Troyd and Handley Bottom. I think the real Flotsam and Jetsam deserve the right of reply.
Come, little English children, and sit on Flotsam and Jetsam's knee.
And we'll tell you why Cinderella wants to go back to Tennessee.
We know that the English banto is a thoroughly British thing.
You can tell that so by the American songs that the English actors sing.
And yet it was to York and not New York that Dick Turpin rode Black Bess.
And Bo Peep didn't say, my goldern sheep have given me the air, I guess.
Little Jack Horner didn't sit in the corner of some Chicago dive.
And old King Cole was no prohibitionist, sure as you're alive.
Cinderella's coach and Aladdin's lamp weren't made in the USA.
And the babes in the wood weren't American kids, so the best authorities say.
The bells that made Dick Whittington turn never chimed in old New York.
And Robinson Crusoe never saw America, according to common talk.
So come, little English children, and tell us, if you know,
why the royalties on our panto songs back to America go.
We know that our British producers are thoroughly loyal chaps.
So they'll relish our rhymes on their pantomimes. Perhaps.
Well, such were the fears of Flotsam and Jetsam many years ago about British panto. But panto did survive in certain British forms, like this.
Meanwhile, back at the kitchen range is my third daughter, Cinderella, played by swarthy, guttural ex-bomber pilot Betty Marsden. She sits among the cinders, a rosy glow on her cheeks. Enter Buttons, woodenly recited by Douglas Smith.
Hello, Cinders, it is I.
Buttons? Buttons?
Oh, I do beg your pardon.
See, I said he couldn't handle the part. Let's give it a love scene to an announcer. I suppose when there's professionals standing by. Yes, thank you. Yes, here's me popped off with an ugly sister. Ugly sister, spitting a cough. I'm not being serviced on this day. I need the servicing, ducky. I mean, I can cope with more than this, and this doesn't stretch me. I'm used to enormous parts.
Yeah. All right, you can play Buttons as well.
Oh, good. But yes. I say, sir, Mummy was listening specially.
Oh, shut up, Smith. That's out.
Yeah, go on, get out.
Now then, re-enter button.
Hello, Cinders, it is I, Cinders, Cinders.
That's the way it ought to be played, you see. But a feeling, he makes it sound like 10 o'clock news, ain't it? Notice the timbre in my voice, you see, I can reach right the back of the hall with me timbre, if I really try.
What a trooper. But then we all are at heart, aren't we? In wartime, we certainly were. And we dressed up for it, especially on Christmas parade. Oh, yes, decorations will be worn.
Ah, Fraser. Is that an authorized decoration you're wearing or some foreign thing?
That is the Polar Medal, sir, for the Shackleton Expedition.
Really?
The wild and lonely place, you understand. There's nothing for the eye to behold but ice and snow. So they made the ribbon white.
Very appropriate.
You know, you're not wearing your medals, Captain Manor. Did he leave them at home?
No talking in the ranks. Now, who's next? Godfrey? I'm surprised you. I thought you didn't approve of wearing decorations.
Well, it was an order, sir, and I didn't want to upset you by appearing bare-chested.
You wouldn't have upset me, I can assure you.
Come up rather well, haven't they? My sister Sissy had a go at them with powdered chalk and vinegar. Of course, lemon juice is even better, but you can't get any lemons.
No. Thank you, Godfrey, I'll bear that in mind. Good heavens, Pike. What on earth are all those badges you're wearing, boy?
They're my scout badges.
Scout badges?
Yes. That one's a tenderfoot. That one's for knots and splices. Then there's first aid, fire making, and elementary tracking.
We'll take those off as soon as this parade is over.
Well, I didn't want to put them on. No, it was Mum. She said if Uncle Arthur, Sergeant Wilson, was going to show off, so must I.
Fortunately, Sergeant Wilson has more sense than to... Wilson. What do you think of doing?
I'm just pinning these on, sir. After all, I am entitled to them.
You're not entitled to get dressed while I'm inspecting the troops.
I'm sorry, sir. I forgot to put them on earlier.
I see. I can't stand any more of this. I'll be... Dismiss the parade and come and see me in the office.
Yes, all right, Captain Manry. Right now, just before I dismiss you, I would like to say how awfully nice you all looked this evening with your medals and things.
Of course they look nice. That's the essence of volunteer effort in this country. People rally round and do their bit. Sometimes you wish they wouldn't.
Hello? Hello? Oh, hello. Look here. I'm in a call box, so I can't talk for long, but I wanted to ask if you could find time to pop down here and see our Christmas concert put on by the Institute members. I think it's going to be terrific fun this year. We've got a beauty chorus of grandmothers, and they're going to sing and dance a rock and roll number specially written by Mrs. Crumble and Mrs. Hibley from the grocers. It goes, I'll meet you at the bus stop at 4:30. I'll meet you at the bus stop at 4:30. I'll meet you at the bus stop. Meet you at the bus stop. I'll meet you at the bus stop at 4:30. It's right up the minute stop. Well, I mean, you have to today, don't you? And we've got our own skiffle group, and they're all over 75. But, you know, they're good enough for TV, honestly. We've been lent a microphone this year. I think it's going to make the whole difference. Well, last year, no one heard Lily Hosegood's recitation at all. No, not even in the front row. And it was a rotten shame. She never forgets a word, you know, and she just stood there saying it and putting in the expression, and it all went for nothing. All 20 verses... Well, this year she's doing one about the Armada. No, I suppose it isn't frightfully Christmassy, but, well, you know, it uses up the time, and she's had her hair permed for it, specially. So, look, try and come, will you? Do. We're doing it twice, and I'll send you a PC with dates and things. Well, meanwhile, happy Christmas, and jolly good New Year to us all.
One of Joyce Grenfell's tweedy callers, Fern Brixton. I suppose the best-known form of voluntary effort at Christmas is carol singing, which not everybody approves of. But then some people don't like anything about Christmas.
For the last time, we are not having any decorations.
Oh, but, Todd, you can't have Christmas without any decorations.
This lad can. I don't hold with them. Stupid custom. I'm not having bits of coloured paper hanging from my ceiling, matey.
I spent 30 bob having this room done out, and I'm not having it... I'm not having pinholes all over it.
Well, at least we can have a tree.
We are not having a tree. Horrible, messy things. Only have to knock them and you've got showers of green needles all over the place. I've only got to come running down in my rope sandals one morning, I'll have feet like pincushions. No, thank you.
Well, that's a fine thing. Sitting down at Christmas dinner with no decorations and no tree.
What Christmas dinner?
Well, surely we're going to have Christmas dinner.
No. Turkey 5 bob a pound. Pork 2 bob a trotter. Puddings and with tanners in, I may add. Mince pies, nuts, tangerines, ruinous. We're not having any. Egg and chips, a mug of cocoa, and straight up to bed, that's me.
Oh, but Tubby...
I have spoken, do you mind? Christmas is going to be just like any other day in this house. Dead miserable. So put that in your pudding and stir it.
You're a mean old skinflint. Doesn't Christmas mean anything to you?
Bah, humbug. I hate Christmas. Christmas, what a lot of rubbish. It's a racket. All the prices go up. You can spend pounds if you're not careful. Well, I'm not going to. Not an extra penny is leaving my purse. I certainly can't afford any Christmas jollification.
Listen, carol singers.
Hello, more expense. Quick, put the lights out. Hide behind the curtain.
Where are they, Grizzly?
Over there, see them? Oh, three little boys. Oh, and with a little madam. Oh, they're sweet.
Oh, dear, look at them. Straight out of a Giles cartoon. Quick, get back. They're coming up the path. Shh.
Not bad next door, too, Bob. Yeah. That's £18 tonight. I told you it was a better racket than paper rounds. I think we'll make this the last one.
All right.
We'll do Good King Wenceslas in C sharp. Right. Softly and with feeling.
Yeah.
Now, remember, no gabbling. It's a Christmas carol, so put warmth and sincerity into every word.
Uh-huh.
As though he really meant it.
Yes.
Right. 1, 2, 3.
Good King Wenceslas!
That's enough. On the door.
There's no one coming. It's chuck a brick through the window.
You dare. What do you want?
Oh, swipe me. What do we want? We've been standing out here in the freezing bitter doing our jolly old nuts, and you patchy here says, what do we want? Some maters do get lumbered with them, don't they?
We want some money.
Well, you're not getting any from me, hobbit.
Oh, it's Christmas. Go on, give us a bob. We've entertained you with our carol.
A bob for three words. Clear off.
Give us some money, you old fat rotter.
Who's a fat rotter?
Give up.
How dare you? Get off my land before I have one of me turn.
I say, little boys, here you are. Here's 2 shillings for you. And a Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, kind lady. And a Merry Christmas to one and all. All except him.
Oh, go on. Clear off. I'll set the dogs on you.
Dirty nose.
Oh, fat legs.
Four eyes.
Wooden face.
Spotty neck.
Oh, come in. Grown man shouting down the street at little children.
Well, did you hear what they were calling me? Old fat legs, pudding face, and beery nose. My worst enemy couldn't say I was a beery nose. I didn't get this nose from beer. If they'd said claret conk, they would have been nearer the mark.
Drinking, indeed, is part of many people's Christmas, and was, even in the austerity days of 40 years ago, when Freddie Griswood asked the Any Questions team...
What is the expert's recipe for a happy Christmas? They're all scratching their heads. Mrs. Huxley, would you like to start off?
Well, I don't think I've got a special recipe. I think the old one, plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and a little bit of company, but not too much.
I like that not too much. Is it? Ralph Whiteman?
A large teaspoonful of bicarbonate of soda.
Thank you.
And at 33 seconds, that was the longest laugh ever obtained by a teaspoon of bicarbonate of soda. Any more advice, anyone?
There are those who resolutely refuse to hear the whispering message of the lower bowel. Whose motto would seem to be, what I have, I hold. Constipation may even be due to taking medicines to cure it, to taking laxatives as a routine. Please don't whip your bowel each day into a chronic frenzy of irritable activity. Indigestion may be due to smoking. Yes, too much smoking. Listen to what an English king, King James I, once said of smoking. It's a custom loathsome to the eye, hateful to the nose, harmful to the brain, dangerous to the lungs, and in the black, stinking fume thereof nearest resembling the horrible Stygian smoke of the bottomless pit. Sounds as if King James has been travelling on my morning train. And, of course, it's gross exaggeration. Many find smoking soothing, but many sore tongues and sore throats and tender tummies are due to an overdose of tobacco on Christmas Day, and other days, particularly smoking before meals. Many of us are smoking too much, and we know it. It may even be due to too much drink, though if it is, I'd like to know where you got it.
It was 1943, you see. Only a thimbleful each in those days, even for the radio doctor. Some more up-to-date advice, anybody?
I'm going to ask the teams to do their good deed for the day and give me some misleading advice for Christmas. Misleading advice for Christmas, starting with you, Willie Rushton.
It's at a party. Why don't you go over there and have a really lively conversation with John Biffin?
Why don't you join in the Lumberjacks tree-felling contest in Trafalgar Square?
Do take advantage of British Rail's free travel on Christmas Day.
And you're catching up with that one.
Always allow one turkey per person. Incidentally, there's no need to buy batteries. There's always a battery with every toy that needs that. And if not, there's bound to be a shop open you can get a battery from, so on Christmas Day. So just thought I'd mention that.
An English carol singers love our traditional cry of sod off snotty brats.
They're not popular, are they, the carol singers? But we haven't really heard a carol yet. Only a very short snatch of Good King Wenceslas, which is, of course, a sadly corrupted form of the Transylvanian folk original.
Good King Borough's love looked out on the night of grunges, saw them whirling round about, armed with rubber plungers. Brightly shone their artifacts, red their possets glowing. He knew not from whence they came, but he knew where they were going. Out he went into the snow, loud his lummox ringing, with his moolies all aglow and his trousers clinging. Back he bought those grungers bold, stood them by the fire dogs, saved them from the bitter cold by thawing out their yulogs. Those who would a grunger be, take heed of this warning, for there is no guarantee you will live till morning. If you wordle in the snow, in a spot you've chosen, dawn's first light is going to show your woggling irons are froze.
Unmistakably the original tale of King Borislav by rambling Sid Rumpo. Not as much goodness and compassion and spirit of service in that as there is in our modern, prettified version. In fact, the spirit of giving is lacking all round so far. Let's put that right straight away.
You've forgotten to buy me a present, haven't you?
It isn't that I've forgotten. It's those store detectives that have got eyes like hawks. How could I? How could I forget you? Pardon?
No, what's wrong?
How could I forget you? I see your lead hanging there behind the door, and I think good old Ernest Walk is this afternoon.
As I was saying, Christmas, the time when people exchange presents.
Now turn around, close your eyes, and don't open them till I say ready.
I won't.
No peeping.
Brownie's honor.
Well, that's good enough for me. You can turn around now. Merry Christmas, old friend.
What's this?
Your Christmas present. I bought you a pair of socks.
You didn't buy these socks. They're still warm.
I dare say Edwina Curry had only just finished knitting them. And while we're in conservative party mood, no treatise on humour would be complete without a message from that perennial rib tickler, the Prime Minister. This one dates all the way back to her opposition days.
Good morning. Or if you live in Luton, good heavens. Well, what a busy week I have had. Sometimes I don't know how I manage to squeeze it all in. But then I expect a lot of women have the same problem. First of all, there have been the hundreds of Christmas cards, all saying such nice things about me. Even now, I still haven't finished writing them. And then, of course, I have had to organize the Christmas rota of people who prod Reggie Maudling with a stick to keep him awake. This Christmas, I shall, of course, be letting my hair down, which makes rather a change, as usually it's my hair that lets me down. And I am really looking forward to our Tory Christmas party. We have a very amusing game we play. 10 people go into a room with Geoffrey Howe, and you all have to try and guess who he is. It really is splendid. Then on Christmas Day, I will naturally be watching the Queen's Christmas speech. Well, I think it is so very important to try and understand what makes the lower classes tick, don't you? Added to which, of course, Her Majesty and I have such a lot in common. She is a woman who commands respect and understanding, and is a source of inspiration to the nation. And I, too, am a woman. Good night.
Janet Brown in 1977, shortly before Mrs. T's hairstyle was concreted into position, and 3 years before Humphrey Littleton was heard to announce
the arrivals at the Christmas ball. Anybody start who wishes?
God knows I'd help you, but the Sharabang hasn't turned up yet. I'm containing my own long list of guests. But when they do arrive, I'll certainly join in.
William, welcome. Take two. No, William, take three, they're only four. Take four. William. Tim's going to start.
Please do welcome. Mr. and Mrs. not been given another Guinness Book of Records, and their hermaphrodite child. Surely I've not been given another Guinness Book of
Records. I'll stop while you're behind.
Mr. and Mrs. a manger, and their son Wayne Manger. Over there, Mr. and Mrs. Dunyan Stuffing. And their very wise daughter, Sage Anne Dunyan Stuffing.
And now it's Willie's turn.
No, a phone call has come in from the driver of the Sharabang to say he's been breathalyzed in a lay-by near Bletchley.
Good heavens, all the way from Spain, some other visitors. Let's welcome them as well. Signor and Signora, shopping day to Christmas. With their son, who we rarely see, and we cry, bloody hell, it's only one shopping day. Mr. and Mrs. High, and their happy bell-ringing son, ding-dong merry Leon High. And Mr. and Mrs. Woods, and their babe, Cindy Woods.
Didn't I hear the sound of a charabang pulling up outside?
Yes, you did.
No, not a word, not a word.
Ah, welcome Willie's party.
Well, they've let a lad in.
Yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, all good things have to come to an end. And this programme has to come to an end now. So all I have to do is to tell you the score, which is that Graham and Barry have won tonight's Star Prize, which is a holiday for three in Rickmansworth, plus... plus the latest sing-along, a Leonid Brezhnev LP, but Tim and Willie, you've been wonderful contestants, and we're very sorry to lose you, but you don't go home single-handed. You have a Dennis Roussos whoopee cushion, a Make a Willie Whitelaw out of a potato kit, and some Harvey Smith nutcrackers. And from all of us this year, goodbye.
And the same goes for me. I wish you all the radio fun in the world this Christmas.
and custard.
Of course, and the warmest of custard to you all.